One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Be Here for a While. I have a very special guest today, and I'm not even in LA. Whoa, I just rhymed. I'm a rapper now. What the? That was impressive. I didn't even try to do that. It's going to be a good podcast.
I'm Are we going to rap the whole time?
Well, no, I don't think people want to hear that. I am in New York at the beautiful Taylor Strecker's apartment. Taylor is the host of Wake Up with Taylor on Sirius XM channel. You just say the channel.
109.
109. Every day, right?
Yeah, Monday every through Friday. Morning, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m.
EST?
It's a lot. Yeah, EST. Eastern Standard Time. It's nice and early. You know, but people can listen on demand, too, which is, like, very important because it makes me look like a rock star when people listen on demand.
I need to figure out how to work the Sirius app. Everyone says it's amazing, and for some reason, I don't...
I couldn't tell you. I don't listen.
You don't?
To anything.
You never listen to yours back, ever?
Don't listen to myself. Only if I'm, like, with my mom or if my girlfriend's listening when I come home on because she listens on the app.
Yeah.
I can't. I hate myself.
I hate myself too. The only time I will listen back is if I need to edit something out that like I said or a guest said. But like I hate listening to myself.
Right. I cannot. I honestly don't know how actors watch themselves. Right.
I find it easier to watch myself than to hear my voice. I've always hated the sound of my voice, which is bizarre that I started a podcast.
Yes.
I'm with you. I'm like, you're so annoying, Rachel.
No, I'm always like, fire her.
And say the word like more fire. Why do you have her on the air?
Why would you employ this person? She's awful.
How did you get that job? Were you like trying to be in radio?
Oh, my God, girl. It's crazy. So I went to Ithaca College, not to brag. I think it actually is kind of good now.
I think it's kind of a good school.
But when I went, my parents were like really, really disappointed in me.
Where did they want you to go?
Harvard, BC.
Did you apply?
My mom made me apply to McGill.
I don't know where that is.
It's the Harvard of Canada.
Okay.
And I got rejected twice. NYU, rejected. All the small Ivies, rejected. UCLA, rejected.
I didn't even bother applying.
I don't know why I did. I got rejected from everywhere.
That's a lot of paperwork.
Even Union College rejected me. That's an okay school, but give me a break. So anyway, so went to Ithaca, met my best friend, and she graduated a year before me. Mm-hmm. She lived in Connecticut with her mom, and then she was commuting in and out of the city. So when I graduated, I was like, girl, let's move to the city together and get an apartment. I'll get a job. You keep your job.
Wait, are you from Canada? I didn't know that.
No, okay. I am super not from Canada.
Okay, but you were just applying to a Canadian college.
Yeah, because it was the Harvard of Canada.
Okay.
I was trying to sneak in the back door any way I could. We moved into New York. We moved into Manhattan together. And she was like doing a bunch of weird temp jobs. Uh-huh. And then she ended up doing the receptionist work at Sirius.
Okay.
And by that point, I had a job in advertising. And so we would just like socialize with Sirius people because they were cool and it was fun.
What did you want to do? You wanted to be in advertising? What were you studying?
I wanted to be a producer for like TV and film or like do documentary film.
Oh.
I know. And then advertising was like, whatever. At least I was just
it's a job.
Like a starting point in production. But as I was in that job, I was like, this sucks. Like I was booking all this travel for all the talent. And I was like, I want to be talent because I used to sing and act growing up. So my uncle's a casting director. And he told me, you don't want to be on the other side of that table. You want to be in the business position.
Well, I made the wrong choice.
So did I, girl, despite his warning. So he said to me, you know what? How about you don't like I would encourage you being on like the business side. Mm-hmm. So I kind of gave up like the talent stuff. But then when I was working in the business, I missed it. So
I didn't know you wanted to be an actor and stuff.
Yeah, actor, singer. I mean, my voice, like singing voice, literally sucks.
I can't sing at all.
But I used to be able to.
Oh, well, it was never in the cards for me. And I knew that.
Yeah, I think it's worse to have it and lose it, you know?
Why do you think you lost it? I thought that it was just like a natural thing people had.
my a cappella teacher in high school said to me, the way that you speak is going to destroy your singing voice, so you need to go to a vocal coach. So she recommended herself.
Uh-huh. And trying to upsell you a little bit?
Yeah.
How much was she charging?
A ton. Okay. I will call my parents.
And yeah, I'm not buying it.
And then she wanted me to talk like this. And I was like, I can't live my life like that.
What are you, Florence Jenkins?
Characters? Oh my God. So it's like, if I ruin my voice, I ruin my voice, you know? Yeah, Florence Jenkins.
Can you
just
really
like that.
Ruin your voice by talking, though? Why, just because you have a low voice?
It's like...
Or raspy?
Yeah, but it's like the same voice as my mom, so...
It's a great voice. Raspy voices are good.
I love my voice, so thank you.
Oh, well, so, that's good. I don't like mine.
I don't like listening to it, but I just I like the way people react to my voice.
Yeah.
I feel like if I wasn't in radio, though, I would be great on like a 900 number.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of voice you have.
Yeah, like it's
it's very sensual.
Yes, I think many men have dick in hand while listening to Wake Up with Taylor, sadly. But
did
I know
it
to be
true.
Did you
ruin it for them, though, when you came out?
Oh,
we'll talk
I
about
definitely
that.
Ruin it for them.
Oh, and by the way, for my listeners, I should explain how I know Taylor.
Oh,
Taylor is one of Stassi's best friends, and I've met her a few times when Stassi and I have been in New York.
Yeah.
And you know Stassi through Patrick.
Through Patrick.
And now they're back together.
I know.
Are you so happy?
It's my fault.
Wait. Really? Wait, did you know they had been hanging out for a while?
Not much longer than most people.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
for a little bit. Yeah. Well, I mean, of course, there's like a little overlap.
Yeah.
But I you know, he's one of my best guy friends, mm-hmm. and I adore her. And they were broken up, but they were both like sad about it.
Yeah.
And like missing each other. So when I would talk to them, I was just like, why don't you guys just get back together? So I may have encouraged Patrick.
Really?
Yes.
That's so nice. How did you do it? Does Stassi know that?
Yeah, she knows that. I don't know.
I know he was like doing a lot of work on himself.
He was just saying that he really missed her to me. Aww. And was being really, really sweet when we were talking about it. So I was like, well, I just said, I think you guys are going to get married. You know, subtle hints. And
yeah,
I was like,
just dropping
just
like,
small
not
things.
Not like, hey, shoot her a text.
No. I'm like, no, you guys are soulmates. Yeah. So you're going to get back together. It's like without a doubt. And I was like,
you should probably buy a ring.
I said, she still loves you. She still misses you. She doesn't hate you. You didn't like do her wrong. It was just that I feel like her life that she was living, he was having a hard time getting on board with.
Yeah.
And so it just was a matter of him getting on board.
Yeah.
So I just pushed him onto the board.
That's so good. Wait, you need to like officiate their wedding.
That's what I'm saying.
I think we're getting really ahead of ourselves.
I would like to be, no, I'm already there. I would like to be her maid of honor and his best man.
Yeah, you could switch it up. Yeah. We're like a half suit, half dress.
I'm so happy they're back together.
I know, I am too.
Oh, really it makes me.
What does he think about it? Obviously, he's happy, but what is his inside scoop on it?
Oh, I mean, he adores her.
Yeah.
She is his person for sure.
Oh,
I've seen him go
so
through
cute.
A lot of relationships, and she is perfect for him, and he's perfect for her.
In what way? Why do you think they're perfect together?
Because they both are. They're both the same kind of crazy, and I mean that as a compliment.
Yeah, no,
we all have crazy.
Yeah,
but it just takes like it's like matching these crazy puzzle pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally like the same person.
In
a lot of ways.
Yes and no.
I know. And then also not in other ways, but I don't know.
But yeah, I guess they are. I don't want to say what the things are that I think, but yeah.
Right? But like he just gets her, like he gets her crazy and she gets his crazy.
Yeah.
That's very important. Like Taylor might.
And
they Taylor
forgive each other for it too.
Gets my crazy. And because my crazy's slightly intolerable, but it just takes the right person to tolerate my crazy.
Okay, so we're gonna get to that. We're gonna go back to your like. Okay, you're working in advertising. I want to get into your industry stuff first.
Oh, right, working in advertising, and then Nicole, my roommate, my best friend at the time, she was at front desk at Sirius,
mm-hmm.
so we hung out all the time. And little did we know that we were at a party one night and there was a programming director there and she was looking for female talent to do Cosmo Radio. So Cosmo had approached Sirius or vice versa, I don't know, but they were launching this like really hush-hush all women's channel.
Mm-hmm.
So in radio, the demographic of
when
women...
When was this?
This was in 2005.
Okay, way earlier. I came out here for like a callback for a Cosmo show and they were trying to do it like digitally.
Oh my God, it was... Oh, like, was it called Sexy versus Skanky?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I've been on that.
Oh my God. Oh, so they made it? Well, that's rude.
They made it and they cast this Australian girl.
That's so funny.
Yeah, because she was
Because I, when I went to it, there was no Australian girl there and I beat out the girls that were there. And then they just didn't make it for a long time, I don't think.
You would have been perfect for it.
That's all right.
And then Mike Cannon, great comedian, He was the co-host.
Oh, that's so funny.
How crazy is that?
Yeah.
So I think
I think it was Sexy versus Skank. It must have been.
It must have been.
Because that is a very familiar thing that you're saying to me, and it was probably around the same time, 2000 and
could have been Oh So Cosmo, or is that the name of their show on E? I'm so
whatever,
confused.
I don't know. Anyways,
so they were
matter.
Launching this channel, and they wanted female talent that was the voice of the magazine, but at the same time, they didn't want someone that was going to overshadow the brand because the brand is so valuable to them. I mean, they're the number one women selling magazine. So the reason Sirius wanted to work with them is because in radio, the demographic of women 18 to 34, completely gone.
Mm-hmm.
They ghost on radio.
Yeah,
so that's Cosmo's exact demographic. So that they could capture that audience again with the channel. So that's what we set out to do. And anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. So the program director was looking for female talent. She approached me and my best friend. We
just from knowing you guys, just
what she said was that she overheard me speaking and the quality of my voice. And then also her boss told her, if you are looking for a radio show host, find somebody in a big group at a party and they're engaging five or plus people in a conversation and everybody is engaged and no one's being left out. That's your radio show host, right? So I guess I was doing it.
That
I was probably
so cool that you got just basically picked out of a crowd.
Literally. And I was hammered per use.
Well, I think that adds to the charm.
Me. And then Nicole and I auditioned together. We were a team. And then I ended up getting it. Nicole didn't, which
are you guys still friends?
Sucked. Yes, if you can believe we made it through that.
Yeah.
Insane.
Well, it's not your fault.
But she ended up on the on air too, on way more visible channel and does better than me. So it worked out.
It's all relative.
It's all good. But that's how I got on. And that's where I met Patrick.
Shocked when you got just chosen because you weren't trying to do that.
We were auditioning for so long that it was oh, we're interested in you guys. And then it was oh, do a written audition. And luckily, because of my background from the communications school, Park School in Ithaca. Yep,
sorry.
Girl, I'm sipping away at my vodka. I can already feel it. This is going to be an interesting
podcast.
How can
you podcast. Already
feel that? Stassi, because I didn't eat today because I'm on a diet. And the diets, don't eat.
Well, I thought you were eating, but just fish.
Yeah, only dinner.
You don't get to eat anything.
No, I mean, I do, but little things. You want to know what I had? I had egg whites for breakfast when I got back from the show.
Uh-huh.
I had a coffee at the show. And then
that's not food. You don't really need to list that. It's not a calorie.
With milk, you do. Oh. And then I had two rice cakes with one of those Laughing Cow cheeses.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Actually, that's actually kind of good. I do that, but I put butter on it in between the cheese and the rice cake. You got to have that layer.
So, so I'm going to be wasted.
Okay.
But so I got the job and I've been at Sirius now I'm on my 11th year.
That is insane.
I know, but I had always acted and stuff as a kid.
Yeah.
So entertaining people was something that I had done in my past and wanted to do.
Yeah, but no one graduates college, gets that cool of a gig and does it for that long.
No.
That doesn't exist anymore.
No, it's
or
crazy.
Or really ever.
I guess not,
It's a very rare thing.
I think I take it for granted sometimes. It was kind of, but like you said, was it amazing to get it? It was amazing, but I think both Nicole and I expected to get it together because everybody was yes, all the way up, and the written auditions, and then the recorded auditions.
So did they just hire you solo, or did they replace her with a different co-host?
They hired me solo, and then I threw all my auditions for 6 months. And then they were we know what you're doing. You need a co-host, and it can't be her, because she had said something in an audition that the editor-in-chief of Cosmo at the time didn't like. It was something that small, you know?
Wait, you were throwing all your auditions with other people because you wanted it to be her?
Yeah.
Got
I was
it.
Trying to get her back into the ring.
What did she say that offended him so much?
It was something it's Cosmo. So she said something sexy or sexual, you know, which I thought was very on brand. The truth was, I thought if one of us wasn't going to get it would be me because I was such a prude.
Yeah.
But it was so interesting because Cosmo, I think Cosmo had at the time a very different perception of themselves than the public does.
Yeah.
They put the word sex and orgasm by every cover girl's head.
Yeah.
But for some reason, Nicole said something about sex, orgasm, and they were too much. And we were
that is so weird.
We were what? It was that, so weird.
That CEO or whatever is probably not even at the company anymore.
No, but I do love her. She was the editor-in-chief at the time that I was there. She was the best. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting. You know, it was like, I didn't know Cosmo had lines that you could cross.
Well, you know, that's weird when you don't even know that you're like doing something wrong. Like she probably didn't know that she was saying, she probably thought she was saying the right thing. Mm-hmm. And it can lead you on a totally different path. I mean, I'm sure she's happier with her path now. But
absolutely.
That's just crazy when you think you can plan for something so much.
Yep.
And then you think you're saying the right thing, and it's the one thing that sets them off.
You know what I think it is in radio, truthfully? I think authenticity is the most important thing in radio. And in that moment, maybe she wasn't being that authentic. And maybe that
seemed like forced.
Maybe. Yeah. You know, I don't remember.
I mean,
like,
that's the same thing with comedy. Like, it's just like saying your truth. Like, no one needs to, like even if you're trying to, like, I could repeat the funniest Bill Burr joke.
Uh-huh.
And it's the best joke ever. But if I said it, it wouldn't be that funny because it's not my truth.
Right.
Like, it has to come from, like, who you are. Otherwise, it just seems phony. Or, like, if I'm trying to force, like, because I'm not, like, a sexual comic. I'm not like, I gave fine blowjobs this week, like a lot of girl comics are. If I tried
Amy
to do
Schumer.
That, it would be, it would be like, that's not working for you.
Right.
Yeah, that's not you.
But authenticity is everything.
Yeah, totally.
Really, it is. So maybe she was having because I was being authentically me and I was like, ugh, blowjobs. And I thought that was going to really hurt me, but I was like, but I have to be honest. And it ended up working. So yeah.
So then you were doing Cosmo Radio for how long?
Cosmo, God, I don't even...
Were you co-hosting with Patrick or did you just know each other from
No,
that?
They thought of putting Patrick and myself together, but we were both too alpha. Like, we would have killed each other.
Yeah.
Whenever Patrick and I do radio, well...
Which is surprising how Stassi and him date, because they're both very alpha.
I know. That's why they're so similar. But when we do radio, Patrick and I together, I let him win. Mm-hmm. No, he beats me. And, but yeah, so we decided... They thought it'd be stronger if we were to split up.
Yeah.
And then... God, yeah, I was doing Cosmo Radio until...
So by yourself or they ended up hiring co-hosts?
Oh, God, girl. I went through like so many co-hosts. I was like... I mean, I'm sure I look like the difficult bitch, but like all of them were difficult bitches.
Yeah.
I had one who would get migraines on the air and she would take morphine.
Oh.
Yeah. So she would fall asleep in the middle of the show. That was a bit of a problem.
Morphine?
You heard me. I'm like,
where does one even get like street morphine?
I don't know.
Like, I thought that
was
like something
pill
you get like after like surgery.
And then she wanted
is it to like wean you off heroin or something.
Well, oh God, who knows? I actually don't think that she is like a heroin addict or anything.
But a casual morphine pop is like a little.
But morphine, it's concerning for sure.
A little bit.
And then I went through. Then like my producers were my co-hosts, and then I would say that went on for like. A year and a half, 2 years, maybe. Yeah, about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then this guy, Kenny, came along, who was my co-host for like 8 years. Mm-hmm. And he
I'm
was
just taking notes on another question I want to ask you.
Incredible.
Really?
And he actually came in as my producer, and then he ended up being a co-host. He was the world's worst producer. He would admit that himself, but he was an amazing, amazing co-host.
Do you think that producers make better co-hosts than like two on-air talent? Like,
it depends.
I know they're still being on-air, but...
It depends. It definitely depends. But Kenny was a stand-up comedian, so...
Is he the one I met when
yes!
I was the show? Okay, that's what I
yes,
thought.
Yes,
he was
yes,
really
yes.
cool.
He's great. So, but he now lives in Pittsburgh with his wife and his baby, and they moved. I mean, listen... When you have a family to raise, it's not the most fun thing to do it in New York City. I get it. And his wife is from Pittsburgh, and she got a great job offer. So he left.
That's what
you
got to do.
But it was like, I was scared that could be the end.
Yeah.
You know, because chemistry is really important.
So he was doing Cosmo with you, because you're not doing Cosmo anymore.
No. Well, so he was there.
Because I saw him when you were doing Wake Up with Taylor.
Yeah. So Cosmo was probably, I'm going to say 5 or 6 years.
Uh-huh.
And then... maybe even more, 7. I can't even keep track now. But what happened was the editor-in-chief that hired me mm-hmm. left Cosmo, and then Joanna Coles came in, new editor-in-chief.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no longer. She was. Now she's the former.
Uh-huh.
And she just didn't get the vision of the channel.
Yeah.
And she kept us around for like a year, and then she was... Like, she would express to me, like, why don't I have any numbers? And I'm like, because Sirius doesn't have numbers, which is crazy.
What does that mean? Like, people aren't listening to Sirius?
No, like, Sirius can't say, we have X amount of listeners listening to this particular show.
They can't track it?
That's the word on the street with Sirius. Yeah, but they know that they have subscribers.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Got it.
But, well, Listen,
I don't know.
There are ways to figure out numbers. Trust me. Yeah, there are methods too.
Where like,
yeah,
there's a weird thing where like no one really knows how like the iTunes charts work except for iTunes.
Well, even like Nielsen rating system is like kind of ambiguous. Like you have to have an actual box in your house and like who? I don't know anybody with a Nielsen box. Do you?
Is that really how it goes?
Yes, I didn't realize that. Someone told
me. That's a conspiracy. Who has a Nielsen box?
Middle America.
You would have run across one person in your life that had one.
Not one. Have you?
No.
There you go.
So I don't believe it's real.
Exactly. So so she kind of was like, she wasn't down with that.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably why she got rid of Cosmo Radio. Who knows? Maybe she didn't want to license the name Cosmo out to Sirius.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know. That's like up. That's way above my pay grade.
Yeah.
But then I did a lateral shift over to the channel I'm on now, Stars. Mm-hmm. And I guess I've been there for like, well, I guess I've been at Stars for
did
about.
Did you have to audition for that or were they just like.
No, they were like, we found a place for you. Same exact time slot. It's just, you know, same everything. Same co-host. It's just like, we're just changing your channel. So I made the
cut. And you were talking about the same stuff?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I couldn't shake the Cosmo. It wasn't called. Well, actually, that's not true. It was. So then it was Wake Up with Taylor. And then Joanna Coles came back and said, actually, I want to stay on with Taylor. Uh-huh. So then I was Cosmo's Wake Up with Taylor on Stars.
That's so funny.
It was like crazy.
So what do you mostly talk about? So you talk about the same thing that you did on Cosmo that you do on Wake Up with Taylor.
Yeah, because I was cast.
Which is what? Like you're giving advice?
Honestly, I like to. I've coined it reality radio.
Uh-huh.
I talk about my life. I kind of made myself. I was obsessed with reality TV, so I kind of just made my reality my radio show a reality show.
See, this is why you should have a reality show. I know.
Girl, I'm working on it. I just was doing an interview yesterday for it.
Yeah.
It's been we've been doing this now for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That is crazy.
And we had to just completely shift.
I'm surprised there isn't a reality show about like podcasters and radio people and stuff. Like it's.
Yep.
How that hasn't been tapped into.
Well, Sirius, it wasn't that fond of the idea of filming a reality show at Sirius. So we had to.
Why? They would just avoid the celebrities.
Yeah, but that's the concern was that they might not feel safe anymore. So we had to completely revamp everything.
Oh, that's crazy.
But we're trying to figure it out.
So you talk mostly about yourself.
Well, you know what happened? I had a co-host. So I was on with Ken. So Kenny was my producer. Mm-hmm. And I had a news girl who had stars in her eyes, which is totally fine. But whenever I go on vacation, she would try to make a case for why the show was so much better without me.
So I love people like that.
They're the best. Wow. So her and I, the thing was that I don't know everything. I actually know nothing and am proud of that.
Yeah.
And this news girl knew everything and was proud of that. So we had just different very visions of like what the show would, a show
I
would sound like.
I actually think that people become more successful when they're kind of like you, where they're like.
Yeah.
They're just being authentic, just being themselves and not like needing to know everything.
You know what I think it is? I think that when
in entertainment, that is.
Yes. When you put yourself in a pedestal, you have some place to fall. When you put yourself sitting on top of a pile of shit, there's nowhere else to go.
Yes. But you're also not putting so much pressure on yourself to like be perfect. Like, I admit that might be what you're saying.
Exactly.
Like you're just being yourself, which is entertaining. No one wants to hear someone that's like, I know this fact about it.
And that wants to bullshit or like have the answers to everything.
Yeah.
I mean, there is some room for that. Like Dr. Laura Schlesinger is like the queen of that and she's super successful. But I think that's like what radio was.
Doctor.
And she's also a doctor.
Yeah.
That's what radio was. I think radio now it's more about like connecting with relatability. People want to be like, oh, I get that.
Yeah. And they feel like they know you and like they can relate to it.
So I kind of just happened to like. So what happened was she was always calling me out for knowing nothing,
uh-huh.
and I thought this bitch gets me every time, and it's my show, so I have to like exert my control.
Yeah.
So I thought, what's the one thing that she doesn't know that I know better than her?
Mm-hmm.
Me.
Yeah.
So it literally was like it was more of a mechanism to get control over
the
show.
Did you actually decide on that tactic, or did it just evolve that way?
No. I made a decision. I thought, well, if I tell a new story, I don't know all the details. She's going to get me. But if I tell a personal story, she can't get me.
That's very smart.
So
and people can get news anywhere.
Exactly.
Like, there's a million places that are giving news.
So I actually should thank her for being so difficult because she gave me a really great brand that I kind of stumbled upon.
Now, do you have like meetings like? Every so often with Sirius where they're like, no, we want you to do it this way or this way. Or they're just like, we like when you just talk about you, Taylor.
You know, I've been air checked over the years and you get like, I've had a lot of different bosses. So of course different bosses have different opinions. But you know, honestly, when I was working with Cosmo, there was a ton of daily feedback. It was like, because they're in the world of print. Yeah. And print, they,
and variant specifically branding
and
something.
They edit it and edit it to death, and it's like it goes through a million eyes, but mm-hmm. I mean, radio's live, you can't edit that. So yeah. They would call and be like, no, delete, and it's like, dude, it's out there, we yeah. can't go back and fix it anymore. They adapted over time. So when Cosmo was on, we had really tight reins. Like, mm-hmm. I think they basically wanted me to read the magazine aloud. But
you're like, that's not going to be interesting. Also, I'm not a strong reader out loud.
I'm a very weak,
that's like
weak
the most
reader.
Terrifying thing you can do to a child when you're in grade school is now you're going to read out loud.
I hate it.
Wasn't that horrible? Then you have to put your finger along the thing. Like,
oh my God. And I can't read good.
To, yeah. It's not even if you can read good. It was just, like, it was so nerve wracking. Like, it was just too much pressure to put on a kid.
Oh my God. When I was married, I remember we would read from the Torah on the high holy days. And I was like, please don't make me read aloud. I'd tap out. I was like, I'm Catholic. I can't do this. Please leave me alone. But
I don't know why reading aloud makes me feel so nervous.
Even as an adult, it
I'm
freaks
like, what
me
if
out.
I'm going to pronounce something wrong?
And like, and then you sound so stupid.
I know.
But you know what? Now I'm just like, fuck it. I sound stupid. I can swear, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, good.
No, this is, yeah.
Are we going to get FCC fine?
I'm very PC.
Yeah, so that's how I kind of came into this like reality radio realm. And for a very long time, I shared every dirty detail of my life.
We need to go into this too because I have questions about that.
Yeah, there's a lot to ask about.
So she was married. We'll explain that.
Right.
Were the people in your life that you were telling the dirty details about, were they...
Oh, my God, girl.
Did they get upset
you
by
no
it?
You have no idea. My mom called me one time and said I was a sinner. No, sorry. She asked me if my brother asked if I were a sinner because I was telling a job on the air about a blowjob. And I said, Mom, this is not child radio. This is adult radio.
Yeah.
But I was raised by a very... My parents are pretty strict, very traditional Catholic. And my mom... I swear to God, I think we fought every day for like a year and a half when I first started doing the show because I was, you know, saying
just being
things.
Raw and honest.
Being raw and honest, but I had to be. And so, but she was embarrassed because like she was hearing things that parents should never hear about their children.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, my mom would be like that too. But
yes.
I mean, when I first started my podcast, my mom was like, do you have to say fuck so much?
Oh, my dad stopped listening to the show because I say fuck so
really?
Much. So now I'm trying to not say fuck so much.
I say it a lot less. I mean, she kind of got in my head about it. So I'm like, all right, fine. I won't say it so
I know.
Much.
But parents are like, we are like, they're like living, breathing report cards.
Yeah.
So when we do something that they don't approve of.
And when their friends are listening to it.
And their friends can listen, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
So I fought with my mom a lot about the show. Oh my God, friends. See, the thing is that I never use names, or I try not to use names.
Oh, so you were telling, like, you'd be going out with a friend one night, and then something would happen, you'd tell the story.
Tell the story, right. And so I would, but my favorite thing is when I would tell a story, and then a friend would accuse me of telling a story about them, and I was like, it wasn't about you. Somebody has a guilty conscience.
Yeah, and also, or you're just a narcissist that you think everything's about you.
It was so telling about people's, like, conscience.
Yeah.
And then, of course, all the poor guys I dated that had to, you know, go through the ringer. But, yeah, I mean, I unapologetically said everything.
Did they listen and get
mad? Of course. I ended up breaking up with my college boyfriend over the show, for sure. I mean,
see, I think that there's probably guys that listen to my podcast that I've gone on dates with that are like, maybe I don't want to go out with her again.
Well, it's like, I mean,
I haven't even talked about them, but it's just like I'm talking so much about different things
scary.
In my life.
It takes a special person to be able to be with somebody like us because we share so much and people want privacy, whatever that is.
Whatever. I'm not saying your name.
That's what I say.
If I say rhymes with something, that's
no.
Still not saying your name.
You know what? Fine. Yes, I'm on board for that. But we're like Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I swear that's why she can't have a good relationship. Poor thing.
Probably. Well, I think
Did you hear that? I think she's mean too, right? Did you hear she's trying to buy real estate in the UK because she's dating some British guy? Like,
she's just going to buy something.
She is like,
Taylor, you might want to wait and see if it's going
to
last.
How to lose a guy in 10 days. She
really
is like a stage five clinger.
That also might be her problem.
I think it is.
Because it's always like fast and hard. And
yes. She scares him away.
Yeah.
So
she's a little much.
She's the most much.
And
but
she's always dating people slightly below her or way below.
Right.
Well, Calvin Harris is very successful. But like,
yeah, but even still, looks wise.
Tom Hiddleston and stuff. Like,
he was like a douche.
Yeah,
she must have low self-esteem.
I don't think he's a
that
douche.
Makes me like her.
No,
Tom Hiddleston's the worst.
Why is he a douche?
I had a friend who...
I thought he looked nice. I thought she was mean to him.
I had a friend who dated him. Yes. Yeah, a friend of a friend dated him and said he was a fucking nightmare.
Oh, okay.
And he performed on some Korean late night talk show, Man in the Mirror, dead serious.
Oh, all right. Well, that's, yeah.
Like, I can't.
You're white. You're not Michael Jackson. Relax. Like, yeah.
Like American Idol style.
That's really embarrassing.
It was horrifying.
Okay, well, maybe you're changing my opinion on Taylor Swift, which is, I've been going strong with my, like, really? Dislike of Taylor Swift and Beyonce for a long time.
Beyonce? Girl, you're going to get killed.
I don't.
Don't tell me you like Katy Perry.
No, they all okay, annoy good. Me. I just need them all to relax a little bit.
They could relax.
Just maybe go on a little vacation and not. You don't need to reinvent yourself every...
Beyonce with those 1970 flower pictures, that went over my head. I did not get that.
You're not the first person to have twins.
Lady. Right? And like, it was
not like a monument. Like
it was like she went in a time machine and then went to the middle of the country and then found like a really old like wall. What Woolworth? That's back then, right? And found like a geriatric, like sad man that wears like pilled moss smelling sweaters.
This isn't the first announcement of her.
Yes, this is the one.
Oh, in the mismatched lingerie.
Yes, this is the one.
What is going on?
I feel like it was like in the 1970s. Found this like really sad photographer at like the local mall, and he took like this whack picture of her.
It was
in front of his like. He like took all of the props he had and just pushed them all together.
All the fake flowers.
It was so bizarre.
What was that mall photographer called back in the day?
Oh, my God. Like, glamour shots?
Yeah, but it was, like, the same one at every mall. Oh, we'll think of it.
All I'm getting right now is Claire's Boutique, and I know that's wrong, because that's where I got my ears pierced.
Yeah. All right. Finish what you were saying, and I'm going to Google this.
Okay. What was I saying, though?
Okay,
oh, my
we're
God.
We're talking about how you could scare, like, guys off. You were scaring your parents
friends,
off.
Oh, friends. Fighting with friends. So, yes, giving my all on radio definitely took a toll on my personal life. But I will say now that I am in a relationship that I very much respect, mm-hmm. I am trying to do both. I'm trying to have my privacy and be respectful, but also like be honest, but not make it like all about our relationship because.
Well, we need to explain what happened. Okay. So you started in radio, you were dating at that point, and then eventually you met someone and got married.
Yes.
So
yes.
You just need to explain this. I can't explain it.
Okay.
You.
So I moved to New York City. I was dating my college boyfriend. He was an aspiring actor. He loathed the radio job. It caused many a fight. So we ended up.
Why did he loathe it? Because you were talking about him?
Well, at first he was mad because I was talking about exes. So, no, I'm sorry. First he was mad because I was talking about us. So then I started talking about exes because it was Cosmo. I had to talk about relationships. And then he was mad. I was talking about exes. And I was like, babe, it's either us or exes. You got to pick. And he was just not down with it. And he got mad at me because he's like, what do you want to be? And I was like, famous. And he's like, that's disgusting. And I was like, you're an actor.
Yeah.
And he was like, I want to act. And I was like, no. Yeah. A byproduct of acting.
Like, you want to do local theater for the rest of your life?
Yeah, that will satisfy you. I'm like, a byproduct of being an actor is being famous. That's like a measure of success. Yeah. So for you to dog on me for wanting to be like notable.
At least you're being honest too.
Thank you. So anyway, we had.
I didn't really see one to be an actor.
Yeah.
What did he end up doing?
Oh, no. This was my ex-boyfriend.
Oh, this is not. Oh,
so we broke up. And so then I was like, well, I'm not going to date another guy that can't handle my job.
Yeah.
Right? Because I wasn't going to go down that path. And I met my husband, as I refer to him as, because ex-husband just makes me feel sad about my life or something.
No.
Like ex-husband. That's like so. That's such a Lifetime movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Husband is like cooler and cuter.
It's cool. Yeah. It's cuter.
So. I met him when I was like pretty deep into the radio show, like 3 years. Mm-hmm. And so he knew fully.
How old were you then?
I was 25 when I met him. So I started doing the show when I was like 22.
Wow.
Crazy.
That is crazy.
Right?
Your first job out of college was a cool job.
My first job was a lame job at an advertising company.
Okay, well basically.
For 6 months.
Yeah.
And then my, yeah.
You
and
know
then
what
after
I'm
that.
Saying.
Yeah. I got super lucky.
It's crazy.
And then,
how'd you meet him?
I met him in the Hamptons at a nightclub.
Oh.
Yeah. I thought he was gay.
Were you attracted to him right away?
How much irony is in this story?
Amazing.
I never told these stories together. So now I'm like, shit. And I was like, oh my God, are you gay? And he was like, what? And I was like, you're handsome. You smell good. You dress well. You must be gay. And I was like, I'm looking for a new gay best friend because mine just moved to LA, which was a lie. I don't know why I made that lie up. Anyway, so.
You were just really hunting for a gay friend.
I guess so. So we were talking and he was very interested. And I gave him my number. But at the time I was hooking up with this other guy who I call Mr. Last Minute because he would call me like 5 minutes before he wanted to have dinner and be like, so we have a date, right? And I was like, dude, you mentioned dinner. You didn't confirm dinner. So anyway, whatever.
Hilarious.
That's besides the point. But so it was like Mr. Last Minute. And then I called him, husband, mm-hmm. Mr. Perfect, because he always was like asking me for dates properly and being a gentleman.
That's so nice.
So he was really on. That's how he won me over. He was like very chivalrous. Mm-hmm. And I really thought that that didn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And he was like a successful, wealthy guy in New York, but like wasn't like a dicky douchebag that was going to cheat on me.
I mean, he kind of sounds awesome.
Yeah, he's really a great guy with the worst family on the face of the planet. That's what killed us.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What's wrong with them? Do you want to talk about it or
not? I would love to talk about them, but I'll get to that in a second. But anyway, so we dated and I made him wait to have sex with me for like a really long time. That was a test and he passed it. And
Good move.
He also like, I didn't really like sex with guys, like, or sex in general in my mind. But I just thought everyone didn't like sex. You know, like I loathed blowjobs, but I'm like, but isn't that normal?
Yeah.
And him and I weren't that, we didn't have like a really active sex life. And that felt safe to me. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think he is going to end up being gay?
I don't think so. Who, honestly, girl.
Or do you think he's just kind of a square maybe?
Who knows? I think he was more just like, I think he's a people pleaser. And so he just didn't want to push me.
Yeah.
Truthfully.
Okay.
So I think he was just suffering in silence.
Aww.
He's really sweet, actually. So he ended up proposing to me a year and a half after we dated, which is pretty quick.
So quick.
And we were living
together.
What kind
of magic are you putting out, Taylor?
Girl, I don't know.
Still, no one has proposed to me.
Girl.
I always, Stassi and I talk about this a lot. We're like, people get proposed to and then they turn them down. Or like, there's at least a drunken proposal. We haven't even had a drunken proposal. Nothing.
You guys are doing something wrong.
Zero offer. I don't, maybe you should tell me. Cosmo radio me up. Tell me what to do.
Oh, God, the old me. I don't remember how that even works anymore. So we got engaged and we were living together and my parents are strict. So it wasn't just him. Like, I was like, we have to get engaged if we're going to live together and da 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 da. But once we got engaged, that's when the shit started to hit the fan with his family.
Really?
And I started to panic. And then we started fighting about religion because he was Jewish and I was Catholic. And I thought we were going to raise these like really enlightened, amazing kids and raise them both. And then he was like, the kids can't be baptized. And I was like, what? Why not? They can be bar bat mitzvah and everything. He was like, that doesn't make sense. And he's like, well, then my family can't know. And I was like, this is fucking crazy, man. I'm not going to live like a life of lies. And so I started to get really freaked out.
Yeah. And do you have to tell the kids like, hey, like you're not allowed to tell your grandma that you were baptized?
I just felt like there was like so, like I started to realize there were so many rules that were being applied to my life that I never realized existed. And it wasn't just religion either. It was like, oh, and we're going to live in New Jersey in the town my parents live in. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, that sucks.
I'm like an adventurous soul. Like I thought like we were going to like experience life together. I didn't think that it was like predetermined, but he worked for the family company. So there was a lot of, I didn't realize, I was too young to realize the strings attached to that.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I mean, there's a lot of women that would be really happy with that, or girls, because you're technically a girl at that age.
Absolutely.
I would not ever be
but
happy
it wasn't
with
me.
That.
Yeah. It wasn't me. And then on top of it, he had a sister that was just a beast beyond me.
Really?
And
why didn't she like you?
I don't know. I mean, you know what? I do know.
Is it a money thing?
No. Well, it was a little bit of a money thing because he had the job. She thought she should have the job because she thought probably she was smarter than him. But he was he's really good at business. Mm-hmm. And she's stick up her ass. She's a little bitch. She would have been terrible at his job. I think she was pissed that we got engaged first because she was dating her boyfriend for a bajillion years. Mm-hmm. It was like to the embarrassing point.
Oh, yeah.
And
hers is a little jealous.
And then also my husband made more money than she was making at the time or probably does, I think, still. So that was probably a thing, too. And then
did they both work for the family business?
Yes. Okay. Well, no. At the time, she had a different job. Oh, once she got fired from her job or let go, whatever, that's when she started to become like a real beast.
Oh, okay.
But I think that she couldn't boss me around, and that was a family dynamic where she was in charge. She got whatever she wanted, and I'm the oldest in my family, so.
Dang, I would have loved to see a reality show on that.
Girl.
Like you standing up to someone like that.
It would have been good. But I think ultimately, because I've thought a lot about it, I spent a lot of time in therapy talking about her. I mean, essentially, she was the spark that was the beginning of the end of my marriage.
Really?
Like, I remember the first fight him and I got into over her. And it was all downhill from there. And it was while we were engaged.
Really?
I tried to postpone the wedding. It was getting so bad.
Wow.
And she had two other sisters that were her little sisters. So she would, she was in control of them.
Well, I don't mean to give a spoiler alert, but did in no part of this time did you ever think like, maybe I just don't like guys?
Never.
Never.
Never. Never, ever, ever, ever.
That's so crazy.
It's crazy. So Anyway, so my parents sent us to therapy before the wedding. Mm-hmm. And
that's a Catholic thing, though.
We tried to, No. This was like, you guys are like in dire straits. Oh, like, this is like really, really bad. Like, there's too much fighting going on. Like,
yeah.
This isn't, you can't get married under these like circumstances. But honestly, and I tried to postpone the wedding, my planner was like, that's going to cost as much money as canceling it. So either cancel it or go ahead with it. And I was too much of a pussy to not go through with it. So we went through with it. And then it was just...
How long did you stay married?
About 5 years.
Oh, that's a while.
I tried hard to make it work.
How many years were happy?
Oh my God, zero.
Zero. You hated it the entire time?
Well, I mean, him and I probably had some like okay-ish moments. But like the family was a constant in our fighting. And, you know, sometimes he had my back. Most of the time he didn't.
Yeah.
Which is like a huge thing.
Yeah.
And
family stuff is a huge deal.
I'm telling you right now, if you're listening to this and you're in a relationship with somebody and you don't get along with the family, you have to really pause and think about that. If the family lives across the country and they're not that close, then fine.
No.
But if the family is like, you're working for the family company and the family, everyone lived in New York or New Jersey. I mean, it was just...
This just happened to one of my best friends from college. Actually, he ended up finally breaking up with her because he listened to a podcast...
Stop it.
...that she did of mine way before she met him. But the mom was trying to say the entire time, like, this girl's a bad person. And someone created like a fake Instagram account. So he was basically like... fighting with like his family the entire time, like, you know, no, Deanna, I don't know what's her name.
Her name's Whatever. Deodorant. Yeah. I heard deodorant.
Deodorant's great, blah, 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 blah. And she is great. She's fantastic. The family was mean to her for no freaking reason.
Right.
But they're all involved in his life. Like, he's actually kind of the breadwinner of the family and they all work for him, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, shit. That's
and
deep
so,
stuff.
And so it was already like a rift that was being created. And she had moved back to LA for a few months to sort of like let the family breathe. And then the straw that broke the camel's back was... someone, maybe a family member of his, created a fake Instagram account, sent him the link to the podcast she did of mine, like, way before they met.
What?
And he basically texted her across the country and said,
this is the
like,
shit I was going through.
Yeah, and was like, no, now I really know what kind of person you are. I broke up with her.
Oh,
text.
My God. This is it was like a constant.
Like, he just needed to find the thing so he could side with his family.
Exactly. Well, when my husband and I got divorced, I did it in therapy.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what my lawyer told me to do, you know?
You guys were there together?
Yeah, it was couple therapy because I wanted to get a divorce.
Yeah.
So, hello. It was right there. The writing was on the wall. And I was just trying to get the courage to do it because it's scary to leave, you know, a marriage and
really
get divorced.
Scary.
And be on your own. And what was I going to say? You just said something that...
The family, the trying to find the thing that they don't like about you.
Shit, I totally forgot.
I
can't remember. Oh, I hate when I do this. I do this literally like 30 times a day.
It's funny. Let me think. Let's see if I can spark it.
Girl, I go on deep tangents. I don't know. This could be impossible. Something, when I told him in therapy... I mean... He said he was blindsided, but he wasn't blindsided because we were there because
how
I wanted
often
to get
were you going to therapy or and how long?
Off and on for years. But
did he think there were problems?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But I told him, you're a great guy. This isn't about you. This is about your family. Like, I want to let you know. Like, I didn't want him to think that there was something wrong with him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he's a really nice, good person.
Yeah.
He just needs to
guy.
Find somebody that gets along with his family or is totally meek and will be walked all
say,
over.
I was just going to say, he needs a meek woman.
Yeah.
You're way too strong for that type of person.
I couldn't do it.
He needs like a little, you know those types. There's a million of them out
there. Of course.
Who just wants to like marry like a successful dude and just like. Be there and
he provides a great life, gorgeous apartment in Tribeca. Great, he loves to travel. He knows all the best restaurants in New York City. Yeah. I will set him up right now.
Yeah, seriously,
he's a really great guy. But you know, it wasn't for us.
Yeah.
So
you, did he know that you were going to say you wanted to get divorced in therapy?
I don't think he knew that I was going to say it in therapy. Well, he said I'm blindsided, and then our therapist is like, no, you started out with her wanting a divorce. You were here.
Yeah.
Because to figure it out.
Yeah.
So,
was he brokenhearted or just more like,
oh, I know what I was going to say. I remembered. Yes. He didn't cry. He didn't cry at all. And then he cried when we got home. He said, can I call my mom? I said, of course you can call your mom. And he called his mom and that's when he cried. And I could tell by their conversation that the mom said, is it us? Like, were we a factor?
Whoa.
And she knew that they were. Cause I was fighting with the girls one girl in particular, but sometimes one of them would jump on the bandwagon and anyway.
The sisters. You mean?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And she said, it wasn't us. And I heard him say, no, it had nothing to do with you. And that's when I thought, I made the right decision. Yep. Because that's insane.
Whoa.
That's crazy. You
can't
even
stand. No. So you could never be in that. Yeah.
No. Because boundaries needed to be set and they weren't being set and they were never going to be set.
Because they were employing him too.
Right.
He just has to marry someone like.
Yes.
Like Meek. You're right.
Yeah. Oh, so that's going to just fit into that family and be quiet.
That would be
that was so good for me to hear, because then I was like, I made the right decision. And then a few days later, he said to me, thank you for doing what I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, that's cool.
That made me feel good. Yeah. And we were amicable for a bit.
Yeah.
But then I announced my new relationship on the air about a year after our divorce.
Oh, it was only a year after? I thought it was a little longer than that.
Well, I announced it a year after our divorce on the air. And
okay, so explain how the trajectory of that happened.
And now him and I don't speak anymore.
Okay, so you have to explain all that.
But not because of who I'm with, but because of, well, okay, I'll get to it.
Yeah, you have to explain it.
So we got separated, and divorces take a while. People don't quite know that. And so while I was, so I'm the girl that does reality radio, right? I tell everything in my life.
Yeah.
I get a lawyer who is like coaching me through this divorce. I mean, I knew I was going to be separated from him like a month, maybe even two, before I actually pulled the plug. I had to like get my ducks in a row because we had a prenup and he has from a semi-powerful family and I just needed to make sure I was protecting my ass. So basically my lawyer said, you cannot breathe a word of this on the air, because if you have to go to court in front of a judge, it's going to be really bad for you. So I couldn't talk about my life for like, I guess it was like 6-8 months.
God, that must've been hard.
At all on the show. And so that was really hard. And listeners were like threatening to cancel their subscriptions if I didn't tell them what was going on. And I'm like, I had to go in there and be like, you guys are smart. You are picking up on signs. I am legally incapable of talking about this.
How did they pick up on what was going on, though?
You live in a different apartment. You never post pictures of your husband, or at the time, my husband. I don't like to say his name now just because I feel like it's not fair. And people were picking up on subtle signs. But I'm talking like...
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
Listeners can do that.
You're not talking about him on the air anymore. What's going on? Are you guys okay? Are you breaking up? Are you taking a break? Blah, 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 blah. All these things.
I didn't realize when I first met you that you had just gotten divorced.
I think when you met me, I had just gotten divorced.
Or even just separated, maybe.
I think we might have just been separated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was at least 2 years ago?
That's right. Two years. Yep. So, because Taylor and I, the first time we hooked up was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So we got separated, and I was staying with friends on their couches. So I was hoping he would move home to his parents' house in Jersey. They had plenty of room, and I have to work in the city, and I have a really early morning radio show job, and he worked out in Jersey. So I thought that would be nice if he would let me just stay in the apartment. And I said to him, you know, I pulled the plug. I'm going to find an apartment. I'm going to move out, and we'll figure out the logistics afterwards.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm going to get my own place. And I actually,
and
the place we're in right now,
coexisted in the apartment.
Well, we tried, but it was awkward. And like, there's one night where he was like, "We want to hook up," and I was like, "No, I don't want to hook up when we were married.
Yeah,
I don't want to hook up now."
Is weird. Yeah.
And I mean, listen, he was like, "I'm sure most guys pull that shit."
I mean,
he was like, "Want to have like one last time?" And I was like zero.
Yeah.
But we were both going out and drinking and like, you know, like licking our wounds.
Yeah.
And I just felt like that was not a great environment to be like, you know. Every single night coming home to. So
I lived with an ex for like 3 months after. We
and
broke
how was
up.
It?
Well, it was a similar situation. We broke up because the family exed me out.
Mm-mm.
Exactly the same thing, pretty much.
Crazy.
And, but I wasn't, I mean, the rug was pulled out from under me. I wasn't fucking leaving until the end of that lease.
Right.
And so I just stayed there.
Did you guys like date other people while you were there?
No, not really. I mean, I'm not that exciting, or I wasn't then. I'm very exciting now, but no, I wasn't then. And we just sort of coexisted for like maybe 2 months. It wasn't that.
It was too painful. I couldn't look at him. It made me sad. You know, like
it helped me wean off of it a little bit. Because
really?
It made me think like,
because it was like an annoying roommate.
Yeah. And I was also kind of like, what a fucking pussy you are. Like that, you know, you didn't stand up for me.
Right.
And
whilst living together.
Yeah.
For 3 months.
Maybe it was more like two. Three sounds like way longer.
Three's a long time.
Yeah.
So I started couch hopping, staying with friends. And I had a friend who was relatively new. Oh, also, before I pulled the trigger on the divorce, I made it a point for like, I would say like 8 months, I like was like, I'm gonna make all new friends that have nothing to do with his family or our marriage or like
that's smart,
because I wanted, and because I also wanted to separate from my life with him to be make sure that I could be in my own life and happy.
Yeah.
My therapist was also like, you should create your own life for yourself and just test it out
but it's
while you're
smart.
Married.
Yeah.
So I made all these new friends that were all my friends. And like they knew him, but they weren't like close with him.
And this was in like the last several months of you guys being married?
Yes. And so I...
Not separated, actually married.
Actually married, yes. But I made a point to make like my own crew of friends because I kind of relied on him. And so I made like this fabulous friend, Uba, who's like a model. And I like worship her. She's amazing. And then my friend, Andy. And then one of my new friends was Taylor, who I met through work. She shot video for my my blog. And I was like, this is like the kind of person, like I was trying to pick people that were like good people, not cool or fun. Not that she's not either one of those things.
Yeah, but she's, like she's a good person.
Good, solid people that were like kind and nice and open and real and just like solid people. Because I was kind of running with a like a I'd say like a club crowd.
Yeah,
like we like go to clubs and like cool vacations
so
and dinners
you and your
together.
Husband would do that.
Yeah, that was our life. It was like sceney.
Because he's like a New York kid. You're not a New York kid, are
no,
you?
No, I'm Boston.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, it was sceney. Not to say that these friends aren't also fabulous, but they're fabulous. But like with the, but they're grounded people.
No, I get it. I mean,
you know,
my most recent ex was like, well, he wasn't like that because he was boring and lived in LA with me. But like, I feel like if we lived in New York where most of his friends were because he was from here, it would have been kind of that thing. Where
exactly.
It, was like,
it felt very high school.
Yeah.
Like the crews that I ran with.
Where it's like everyone knows each other.
From
and
high
all,
school.
Yeah.
And it was all, like, this one's cool. That one's a nerd.
They all go to Martha's Vineyard. They all go to this place. And it's like, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Like I didn't grow up with that.
It was always just like weird competition. I just, and it was like, and people were friends, but like were really kind of shitty to each other.
Although actually... My ex's friends were actually pretty cool. I can't say that. I actually loved a lot of them.
Well, I do miss some of mine too. I gave a handful up in the divorce. It wasn't all bad.
It just wasn't a world that I knew, I guess. Maybe that was it.
I think probably same for me too. It was
and
just
it wasn't
a bit
clubs.
Foreign.
Like, he didn't like to go to clubs. It was more just like, it was a culture I didn't grow up in. That was it.
Totally.
Like that East, it's an East Coast culture. I don't know that well, but you're from the East Coast. So
it's like really waspy and girl, I know.
Like I didn't know you have to pay to go to beach clubs. We just go to the beach.
Right. Like, right.
Just, it's a little, you just walk
it's
on.
Exclusive. Oh, he was a wasp. You were dating a wasp.
Oh yeah, totally.
Oh dear God. Yes. That's, it's not easy.
Yeah.
At all. It's yeah.
But he wasn't anymore. Whatever. That's a whole different story. Anyways.
So.
But he's sweet. I can never talk bad about him.
I was sleeping on couches. And so I was sleeping on my new friend's couches. Right. Mm-hmm. So I would crash at their places. And one of those friends was my friend Taylor. And she lived with her sister and a couple other roommates.
I didn't realize you were crashing on her couch.
Yeah, girl. Yeah. I know. So she and I became friends through work. Mm-hmm. And then I kept trying to set her up with all my guy friends when I was married.
Yeah.
And one day, a mutual friend of ours who initially introduced us for work, our friend Ed, who owns this amazing restaurant in New York. You have to go. It's called Ed's Lobster Bar. It's so good. It's my favorite.
I
one of my favorite
lobster.
Places. Oh, my God, girl. Best lobster roll, like, in the world.
It's my jam.
So good. So he said, stop trying to set Taylor up with guys. I said, why? He said, she's gay. And I was like, oh, shit. So then I was like, I felt so bad. But then I was like, oh, my God, I'm so cool. I have a friend that's a lesbian. Like, I thought I hated lesbians. This is crazy. So, I'm kidding.
This story is crazy to me.
I didn't hate lesbians. But, like, I just never had friends that were lesbians.
It sets the tone for how fucking crazy the turn of the story is.
I know. So... We actually, my husband and I invited this is where it gets really crazy. So we, him and I, things were really bad with us. Like the fall-ish, I would say, of, I think, 2014. Uh-huh. That's like maybe even late summer. That's when I went to my therapist and like it was getting really bad and shit was hitting the fan. And so we were trying our best to hold it together. And I guess we were pretty good in front of people, but we weren't doing that great of a job. So anyway, I was shooting a video for my blog with Stassi. And Taylor was shooting it. And it was probably like, I don't know, November, maybe even early December. And my husband and I were planning our annual pilgrimage down to Florida for Christmas, Fort Lauderdale with my family, and then Miami for New Year's Eve with friends. Or not friends, but, you know, whatever, forced friends.
Okay.
You know.
His friends.
Drama. Yeah. And so we were talking about it, and Taylor said, oh, I'm going to be in Jupiter, because she was part-time nannying for a family. Should I go down there with them to nanny? And she said, but I have New Year's Eve off. And Brett my husband, whatever. I mean, people whatever. Know his name. He was like, oh my God, you should come stay with us. He was that kind of guy. It was like, oh, the more the merrier. And yeah. also, though, we weren't really good one-on-one, so we always like to have a distraction. Like, his cousin lived with us for an entire summer in
That's
our guest
so
bedroom.
Interesting.
We were better when other people were around. So he said, come stay with us. It's fine. We have a couch in our room. No big deal.
Yeah.
And so she was like, I might take you up on that. And I was like, yeah, why not? So she ended up New Year's Eve driving from Jupiter and staying with us on New Year's Eve.
Holy shit.
So New Year's Eve of 2015, she told me I'm gay and I acted all like, surprise.
Yeah.
And so.
You were like, what?
I was like, you are?
Oh my God.
Because she's like a super, she's like very feminine.
Yeah,
you know?
She doesn't seem gay at all.
So.
That's like, you can tell, you know what I mean?
Right, right. So we were talking about, you know, that, what that was like. And I remember saying to her, you know, it's so unfair that you, because you, of your sexuality, you have to meet people. And when you make a new friend or you start a new job or whatever, you have to like identify like, hey, I like hooking up with girls. Like, yeah. imagine if I had to sit down and go, hey, I like having sex with a guy with a dick. Like, mm-hmm. that's so personal.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy to me that like, that's an identifier for you. You have to, like, you feel you have to at some point address that. Whereas heterosexual people never do. Still.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But it was more from like an empathetic place than anything else.
Yeah.
But still, nothing,
so
nothing.
Crazy.
And then, you know, there were like moments where I was like, oh, like maybe she has a little crush on me. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
In our friendship. Yeah. But she swears up and down that she didn't because I was married and that meant I was off limits.
Yeah.
So that was that. So anyway, she couldn't tell anything was wrong in our marriage. And then about a few months later, a couple months later, I was like, we were out hanging out with my mom actually and I was like, I'm divorcing Brett. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah. She was like, holy shit. She's like, I didn't see that one coming. But we were like newish friends.
Yeah.
So yeah, so then we got separated and so I started crashing on her couch. And my lawyer said, you need to keep a bag of your stuff. He said, like, I can't like get back watches and Chanel bags and things of that nature. And those are gifts and you deserve to have them. And so he said, you need to keep them in a duffel bag with somebody that you really, really trust because people do crazy things.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, I don't think he would have done anything, but it was just like a precaution.
Yeah. No,
it was like passports, shit like that.
Yeah. You guys have to be smart because you never know how people are going to react when they're emotional.
They can like set things on fire.
Yeah.
It can get crazy.
People get killed sometimes.
Exactly. So I left my bag with Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like my number one best friend throughout one support system throughout the separation.
Yeah.
And So I was crashing on her couch for like months and we were going out and I was like giving guys my number and, you know, like smooching a guy here or there. And she was like doing her thing. And one night we were out at one of our favorite places and a girl kissed her and I got like insanely jealous.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what is this feeling? Like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
So then
Taylor just walked in.
Perfect timing.
Sorry, we're talking about you and you're just going to have to deal with it because it's getting good.
So I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm a divorced drunk person and I am jealous because I want attention or whatever. And so I let it go.
Yeah.
But then it kept kind of plaguing me. And so I'm like, I'm going to say something to her. So I got smashed and I was like, that other night when you kissed that girl, it really made me jealous. And I was like, I like you and I like want to kiss you, but I don't know what that means. And she was like, no. And I was like, wait, what? Like, and I was like, I mean, I thought that she kind of had like a little crush. I mean, I'm cute
and
I have a great job
at this point.
And I'm like really fun. Like, you don't have a little crush on me. And she was like, listen, you're going through a divorce. And she was like, you are straight.
Mm-hmm.
You were married for 5 years. She's like, number one, I don't want to be your fucking experiment.
Yeah.
And number two,
I don't blame you, Taylor.
All you need, the thing you need right now is my friendship.
They're both named Taylor, by the way.
Yeah.
To my listeners.
How disgusting and how gay. And so she said, you know, you need a friend right now. And she said, when I hook up with people, I lose interest in like literally 2 seconds. So I don't think that's a good idea because then where are you going to sleep?
Yeah.
And I was like,
what a ballsy. You're a player, Taylor.
Yeah, she
what
is.
What a ballsy move.
I know. So I'm like, okay, fine. Fuck it. Whatever. And so then that was that. And so then when we were sober, we were like friends, just like normal. Like it never happened. And then when we get drunk, it'd be like flirty.
Okay.
But nothing happened.
Did you feel awkward when you were sober though? And you had to like.
Yes. Yes. I mean, yeah. I was rejected. I don't get rejected. Yeah. That's very foreign to me.
Yeah.
And
you really went on a limb. You were rejected by the opposite, the same sex, I guess.
Girl, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, right? My God. And I was like,
you really went on a limb on something you've never done before.
Exactly.
And you're rejected.
Oh, my God. And then we went away on a trip together, a work trip. And we were staying in the same room because mm-hmm. I booked it when we were just friends. Well, before I'd said anything, I didn't feel anything. And then on that trip,
convenient for you at this point.
Yeah. So basically, I sexually harassed her. I was technically her boss, and yeah. No, and so then she was like, I have a crush on you. I think you're spectacular. This is so stupid. Like, I don't know why we're not. Just let's give it a shot. So then,
so fucking cute.
So we gave it a shot, and the first kiss was like the best kiss of my entire life and probably anybody else's entire life.
Really?
It was amazing. And but then everything, I became like a 13-year-old and everything was terrifying. It was like, well, okay, well, the kiss worked and I like that, but okay, but listen, like, now what's next? Now what's next? Now what's next? Oh my God.
Liking someone new is terrifying, let alone experimenting with the sex for the first time.
Like doing, like, now we're moving on to this space. I'm scared. What's this going to feel like? It was like very, I don't know.
Like giving me a panic attack right now.
I don't know about Taylor, but she was probably scared at any given turn. I could be like, whoop, whoop, wasn't for me. Can't do it.
Taylor, were you?
Yeah.
She was scared.
She was
says.
Scared. Really?
That you were going to like, that she was going to change
her mind?
Were you scared
that I was going to freak out?
No. Wait, were
she's
you?
So
wait.
She's so confident and cool.
God, yeah, you're so cool.
And tall and thin.
Such a model, Taylor.
I know. She's such an off-duty model, right?
Right?
So annoying.
No, but were you scared? I know this is annoying for our listeners, and I'm yelling out to someone else, but were you scared that she was going to change her mind, that she was going to be like, no, actually, like, it was just a one-time thing, and I was struggling with my divorce, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, she's so fucking confident.
She is confident.
I know.
That might be the appeal.
That was it. It's that swagger. She has it. I know, it's rude. But, so anyway, so then we were together.
I could learn a thing or two from her.
Jesus, right? She's got good game. Yeah. I mean, I was straight, people, you know?
It's true.
And I still don't identify as gay. I don't, because okay, I'm not attracted to other girls.
I was actually going to ask you this question. I didn't know if it was offensive now, especially because Taylor's here.
No,
but I don't mean it offensive. Do you think that you were gay this whole time and just didn't know because of her? Do you think you just fell in love with Taylor?
I really can't. I'm going to try to answer for you, but the truth is I don't know because then when I think about like how much I really didn't like sex with my boyfriends and I thought like everybody really didn't like sex and like I like blowjobs. I mean, like
all of your boyfriends, not just your fiance.
Every single one.
Uh-huh.
All of them. Sorry, guys. Sorry to all of you.
Or maybe this is one of those like sexuality is fluid type of things. Like it was just you fell in love with Taylor.
Right. And I really do feel like I fell in love with the person. That's the best way I can explain it. Because the other thing is the idea of dating another girl grosses me out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh, I could never, like, whatever.
This is like kind of a great love story.
Thank you. What we do, I don't want to do with another girl.
Yeah.
And I really don't like penises. So I don't know.
So it's just a her thing.
But if we broke up, I would say to my friends, set me up with guys.
Yeah,
I would. I would not be like, I'm going to the cubby hole. I'm meeting another girl.
Yeah.
That would freak me out.
Is that the name of a gay bar?
Yes, which I refuse to
go to.
What
a fucking weird name.
So I guess, yeah, I'm confused. I guess I'm bi-confused. It's a whole new genre.
Maybe you're not confused. Maybe you're just like enlightened at what you want.
Yeah. But I don't see us breaking up. I plan very much on getting married to her. So.
Yeah, I don't see you guys breaking up either.
So
it seems like a pretty great love story.
I don't think I'm going to have to answer that question, luckily. I say that I'm Taylor sexual.
Yeah.
Works, right?
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
So do you talk about that now on your radio show?
Yeah, so.
How did your listeners feel? Did you lose some? Did you gain some?
You know, I actually, that's so funny you say that. So what happened was, we started hooking up like late spring, early summer.
Mm-hmm. 2016?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
No. 2015. I was divorced for like I was separated
year,
for a few months.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, if I had started dating guys, it would have been no big deal. He was on dating apps.
Yeah,
you know, like 3 weeks after we got
separated. So you have to explain how he got upset about this.
Oh, right. Well, okay. So what's the thing? So her and I, you know, we had like our first kiss probably like a few months after my separation,
mm-hmm.
and then And then, but it was like a secret. And I wasn't sure what it was. And I didn't want to define it with her because I'm like, every step that we took was like, it could be like a can't do it, not. And I didn't want to like, what, tell my friends? Like, oh, I've been experimenting with a girl since my separation.
That you couldn't tell someone.
No, I was really scared. Stassi was probably the first person I told.
That's good. What'd she say?
You're a lesbian. She got excited. Yeah. And then I said, no, I'm not identifying as that. And then she said, wait a second. Did you ever have a crush on me? And I said,
what a Stassi thing to say.
No. And she said, that's really insulting.
I love that. Oh, that makes me love her more.
I know, she's the best. So she was super awesome and supportive. But so, I mean, I would say like we were like officially together, like her and I, this one, Taylor and I in the summer, I would say.
Okay.
So I started telling friends. So when I started telling, my mom point blank asked me, because she knew Taylor was gay because we were friends. And she said, you're spending a lot of time with Taylor. Why don't you go spend more time with Uba? And I said, well, Taylor's one of my best friends. And my mom said, do you like her? Like her? Point blank.
Wow.
I was home for family vacation.
How are people so perceptive?
Because my mom and I are so close.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes. And my mom was like, no. Like, pulled the car over. She freaked. She lost her fucking mind. But she apologized. And my parents now are, my parents had like a major breakthrough recently. Like they were like not good for a little bit. And then it was like, we just didn't talk about it. Like I said, my sex life is my business. If I was sleeping with a million different guys, you would have no clue.
Yeah.
And also the radio gives her too much insight into my life.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, you know what? It's time to back off. Don't ask me these questions.
Yeah.
I said, I'm figuring myself out.
You need to be able to figure it out without people like bothering you.
And
about
she
it.
Respected that. But then as time went on, Taylor and I are like month four, month six, month eight. And we were on a family vacation and my mom said, she started crying. She said, I'm just so sad. You're so sad post-divorce. I thought the divorce would make you happier. I said, I am happier. And she said, well, why don't you tell me about it? I said, because I can't talk about it. And she said, and my dad said, because Taylor makes you happier. I said, yeah. So then we had this in Turks and Caicos, this come to Jesus conversation. They asked me the most prying and like TMI questions in the world. But I answered them because I thought they are ignorant. They don't know.
Yeah.
And they're pro-gay. Like we have, they have gay friends. I mean, my little sister has a friend whose uncle is transgender and they love him. His name was Michael. Now his name's Michelle. Like my parents are very open, but it's like that not in my backyard mentality. And so I gave them all the answers that I could give at the time. And then they were like, so you guys are a real couple. I'm like, yes. They're like, okay. So we just need to wrap our heads around this. But recently with Taylor, I was home for my mom's birthday, Memorial Day, and they were like, we love her. No wonder you fell in love with her. She's so special. And they said, how could someone not fall in love with her? And they said, if you guys want to get married and have kids, like we are so on board. She is wonderful and makes you happy.
See, this is the family you were supposed to have.
Exactly. So, and her family is the most amazing. They are so accepting. And they're honestly, my family and her family are like the exact same people. They're
That's
like,
really
they're
cool.
Like literally our brothers, my brother's at Harvard. Her brother went to Harvard. Our dads are both doctors. Our moms are the same person in the best way possible. So it's all really good now.
That is really cool.
But it was a journey, you know? I don't have, like, that gay story where I was, like, gay my whole life and didn't know. But I had, like, about a year and a half of it, and it was really hard.
Yeah.
And so...
But you just said you don't really identify with gay.
Yeah. I mean, I know I'm by being with the same someone of the same sex, I'm part of the LGBTQ community.
Of course, yes.
And I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
And I also understand, like, heterosexual people do not understand what it's like. They just don't. And I could love the gay community and have friends that were gay, but I never until I was in it, like, really understood it. Like, we have to really watch when we hold hands. And we live in New York City.
Are people really mean?
No. But it's more like a crazy homeless person. It's like, you know, you don't make eye contact with them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, well, we can't hold hands because God forbid that could, like, you have to be more cautious.
Yeah.
Is the word.
Like a safety thing.
Yeah. And then also, like, we went to see The Lion King. Tay got me tickets for my birthday on Broadway. So gay. So gay, Tay. And
that's like not lesbian gay, though. That's really like,
no, that's gay man. We're
that's
gay.
So
actually,
gay man. Yeah.
I have like, a secret celebrity. We're gay man.
Because I feel like I, minus the sexual part, like resonate with like a lesbian woman, just like grumpy and just like, I don't like shit like that. Like, yeah, like you guys seem
no,
like
we're gay
flamboyant
men. We're flaming gay men.
Yeah.
But like, you know, we won't hold hands if there's kids around because we feel like.
Well, that's.
But if she was a guy, yeah. I would hold her hand. So it's like these little things. And I actually said that on the air.
But it is. But I do think that that is like, I mean, I know it's annoying. It's like we should be out and proud and like you totally should. But mm-hmm. I think that's actually a very conscientious thing to do in front of a kid that like their parents are going to have to explain it to. I don't know.
I know. But at the same time, I actually said this on the air on my mm-hmm. radio show and listeners called in and they were like, that makes me so sad. And they were like, I have kids. I would want my kids to see that. So I would have a reason to explain it to them.
Well, that's fair, too.
And I was like,
I just think it's shit. Nice. I think it's nice on your guys' part that you're not.
Yeah.
Like, so aggressive about it.
Exactly. You know,
I don't care, but like, if there are people, I don't know.
I know. But at the same time, it's like.
But maybe the kid should just see it.
I get why parents get upset when their kids are like, I'm in a same sex relationship or I'm gay, because it's like, life's hard enough. And that's just one more thing. That the truth, it does make it harder. But I love her so much that there is no other option.
If you were more obvious about it, the kids. Meaning, like, if people were more obvious about it, the kids wouldn't be so scared to come out later. Like, if they saw more people.
Because it'd be more normalized.
Yeah.
It'd be like, oh, that's a normal thing. It's not like this, like, hush-hush secret thing until, like, it's age appropriate.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, like, this next generation of kids is super open-minded. So, I think the tide will change. But anyway, so we were together for a whole year before I told my audience. So, because what happened was I announced my divorce. I couldn't announce my divorce until it was official. And it was official like mid-July. So I told the audience that I was.
Of what year?
Of 2015.
No, 16. It would have been.
No, 15. It was 15.
It was when you announced it. Okay.
Yes.
But you didn't announce you guys in 2015.
2016.
Yeah,
yes,
for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what am I going to do? Tell my audience I got divorced and then tell them that I'm
like,
dating
hey,
a girl?
What's up?
I don't think so. Yeah. They needed some time. Plus, the audience. They're not in real time. They're on delayed time. So if I were to spring all that information, it would seem like I got divorced because I left my husband for a woman. And that's not the truth and it's not the story.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and also my manager was like, we got to wrap our heads around this. And, you know, I was scared I would lose listeners. I was scared I would lose my job, which I mean, I could sue Sirius for bajillions.
Yeah.
And of course, like Sirius is so liberal. They wouldn't give two shits. But I was very scared, you know, and I built this whole brand and like, what if my listeners are super conservative? I don't really know.
Yeah.
So I waited a year. I also wanted to get things right with my family. Mm-hmm. And so we did 4th of July out of my manager's house in the Hamptons last July.
Uh-huh.
And my family met Taylor's family and it went very well.
So cool.
And I thought I'm gonna do it the day we get back from 4th of July. I didn't tell my parents I was going to do it.
Uh-huh.
They had no idea because I knew they'd talk me out of it.
Yeah.
Because at that point, they were, like, fine with us.
But why would they talk you out of it?
Because they were, like, it's not anybody's business who you're dating. It was like that, you know? And I'm, like, well, I have my radio show.
But you owe it to the people that.
And my job is to be authentic. And being inauthentic for a year and a half, because, you know, part of that was the separation I couldn't talk about. And then the dating of a girl. I mean, that sucked. So I was bursting. I had to be honest with my audience. So I came out on the air at the end of the show. I cried. It was like this whole thing. And I literally, after I got off the air, I was like, huge mistake. Shouldn't have done that. Should have kept it a secret. I was having a full-blown panic attack.
Oh, you didn't feel like a relief?
The opposite.
Really? I didn't listen to when you announced it. I just saw it on like Instagram and I was so happy for you.
And so, but then the feedback from the audience started to come in and it was so amazing. And so I was like, you know what? This is actually good. And it was such a relief. But anyway, so what happened was, I said to people, you call in and ask me any question you want because this is a lot. And like it's like your best friend you've known for 10 years dropping this on you. It's like people have questions and I respect that. So I took any and all questions live on the air for like a week, you know?
Yeah.
And people would say, did you leave your husband for her?
Mm-hmm.
And my answer was no. And so and they said, so why? So I said, his family.
Mm-hmm.
So he reached out to me and he said, you know, congratulations on Taylor and coming out. He said it takes a lot of guts to do something like that. And he always knew I lived an honest, authentic life. So, I think he knew. I know he knew because he actually confirmed it. I know he knew that Taylor and I were dating. He probably knew like the summer that we got divorced that we were dating.
How did he know?
It's a small city, yeah. You know, and I did have some close friends whose husbands were so friendly with him. I'm pretty sure one of my best friend's husbands told him, and she was like, he didn't say anything. And I said, girl, it's fine if you did. It wasn't a secret, yeah. You know, it wasn't like some like dirty thing.
Yeah.
It was just like, you know, people said like, oh, well, did you tell him? It's like, I wouldn't want to hear if he was dating somebody. So just because it's a girl, I have to quantify it?
No,
fuck that. Like, he was dating people. He wasn't like, hey, I want to date with a girl named Molly.
Yeah, no thanks.
It's like,
I
whatever.
I would rather not hear that.
Right. So we were like fairly amicable for like, I would say separation, and then for about a year after the for a year of the divorce. Mm-hmm. But then when I came out with this and I was on the air, I was telling the truth about why we got divorced, and that was his family.
Oh.
And they started to freak out. I think that what happened was they knew about her and I probably like summer, fall. Uh-huh. And it was still very relatively new, her and I. And they probably thought, ha, we got her on a secret. She's now, because they were the ones with all the secrets.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I'm not going to keep your fucking secrets. And I live an authentic life. I'm not going to play these like games of lies.
Yeah.
And so I think that I unnerved them that I didn't have secrets and they had secrets. Mm-hmm. And so then when I had a secret, I think it was like almost like an insurance policy for them. They felt like really great and confident.
Oh, that's so interesting.
And I found out through Graven that they were going around telling everybody that I divorced him because I was gay and left him for a woman.
Wow.
Which is not the truth.
No, I know.
And, but it was my mom was very upset about, you know, me dating Taylor primarily because of that. She said, they're going to get to walk away scot-free for being so horrible to you. Mm-hmm. And now it's going to get all blamed on you.
I don't blame your mom. I feel that way. That's like terrible.
So, but I knew that eventually I would get to tell my side of the story.
Yeah.
I have a microphone in front of my face. They do not. So there you go. So, and their friends and their family members and friends and family members, they all listen.
Yeah.
So I knew I'd have my time to voice my opinion. And so I started to talk, and I would say, no, I wasn't always gay. I didn't leave him for her. I left him because of the family. So he texted me saying, you know, congratulations on being brave and, you know, being happy. That's what's important. And then he was all, next, comma, stop talking about my family. And I said to him, listen, this is the reason we got divorced. You always take their side. You don't see mine. I said, it's my truth. When we got together, you knew what I did for a living. Uh-huh. When you married me, you knew what I did for a living.
Whoa.
And when I talked about you in the positive way on air, you loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you know, I'm going to speak my truth on the air. And I'm unapologetic about it.
Has he ever offered to like, not offered, sorry, like threatened to like sue you or?
No, because I don't tell specific stories. And trust me, there's a lot of stories to tell that I still to this day don't tell and keep confidential. So, you know, I don't have guilt about it.
Yeah.
I didn't get along with the family.
Yeah.
Period. End of story. It was.
And you're not exposing their secrets. You're just saying that.
No.
They weren't nice to you.
They weren't nice to me. No.
Yeah.
And if I am telling stories on the air that they think are about them, I'm not saying it's about them. I'm saying a friend or an ex-boyfriend or whatever. Yeah. So, you know, but I think that they would have loved for me to sign an NDA post-divorce, but I was not willing to do that because.
Did they offer it?
Yes. But my marriage, my marriage, my job was on the line because like, what if I told a story about the fact that sister didn't want to wear my bridesmaids dresses because it was an important day for their family.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to get sued over that.
So when you didn't sign the NDA, did you give up like a certain amount of money they were offering you? Or
no, they didn't.
You just like refused to sign it.
I just said, I'm not going to sign that.
Good for you.
So because my job is
to talk about your life,
to talk about my life. And so what if they misinterpreted something about me talking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It could be completely innocent.
And it could not even be about them.
The way my friends in the past have misinterpreted me talking about them. What if they misinterpreted it and then I have like a lawsuit in my hands? No way.
Yeah.
No way. So
what's next for you?
Oh God.
What's next for Taylor and Taylor and just Taylor?
Taylor and Taylor. So Taylor and Taylor
sounds like a
happy.
Law firm.
I know, right? We should. Oh, that would make us some money. The next thing is for me to figure out how to be a woman who can successfully survive on her own. I don't need to be a mega millionaire, but it really pisses me off that we live in a world where, and I do feel, and listen, there's some exceptions to the rule. There's some women.
Like you are successfully surviving on your own.
I mean, listen, I live in a studio apartment.
It's in New York.
Girl, I know.
And such a nice building, and it's so much. This is nicer than any of my friends' apartments in LA.
We lucked out on this. We got a really good deal on this apartment.
Okay.
We were in a one bedroom.
It's like $6,000 a month.
It's not.
Well, I'm sure it's very expensive.
Well, it's way less than you think.
Okay.
But I will tell you that I think that a lot of women, and I was very proud of myself for, you know, getting out of a marriage that made me unhappy because I was very financially stable.
Yeah.
And it's not like he was a horrible guy.
Yeah.
It could have been very easy just to say, well, I'm just going to settle with what with what it is. And I think
and a lot of people do.
And a lot of people do.
And I'm really proud of you for not doing that.
Thank you. And so happiness is so important. Life is so short. And so I really, aside from me obviously just like wanting to be successful and make money, I want to be an example for women that like you can do it on your own. We don't need, you don't need to rely on a guy. Even if a woman just wants to be single forever, guys can do it. Guys can be bachelors forever. We revere them.
I love that mentality. I'm so into that.
So,
but it makes it hard for dating. I don't think a lot of guys like that in girls.
They don't. I remember.
Because like, you don't need them for some reason. You know what I mean? Like, or you don't need them for any reason. Like
yeah. It's a flawed system for sure. And I think more and more guys are evolving more. Like I have a bunch of friends actually whose husbands are stay-at-home dads.
I don't know that I'm into that either, though.
But then I'm like, weirdly not into that either, which is so unfair. It's like,
it's so unfair. I know.
I know, but I'm with you because, like, I'm like.
But I just would like people to be equals. Like, can't we just both do?
Yeah, but I think that somebody always has to shoulder more of
this
chore than that chore, and if that chore is making money or that chore is taking care
of
a child,
but then we can still be successful.
Yeah, right. But
I feel like there's a lot of guys that like girls with like broken wing syndrome, where it's like, oh, they need help, but I'd like to take
them.
Well,
it's Prince Charming.
Yeah.
Honestly, Disney has fucked us all up.
Yeah.
Completely. But
it's like, I don't want to pretend to need something.
But then Frozen came out, and that's like a lesbian thing, so that's why I'm a lesbian now.
Oh, shit. I haven't seen Frozen.
Girl, I was so resistant.
You have just don't like singing and things.
No, you have to see.
Just say what you have to say.
You have to say it. Wait, are you a straight man trapped in a female body?
Totally. I'm like a 50-year-old man trapped in a female body.
100%. And I'm an 85-year-old gay man.
It's so
trapped
funny.
In a 34-year-old body.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm like a 50-year-old, like Irish, you know, construction worker. Like, just... It's just, everything is just like annoying. Like, I'm just hardened. I like Bruce Springsteen. Yeah, no. I was not born into the right body.
Oh, it's so, but we live in a world where you can be
so,
whatever you want.
Yeah,
you
I'm
can
so
be,
conf-
you
I'm
can
so
be Bruce Jenner.
As to why guys are not into me. No, I'm not ladylike enough.
I just, to come full circle, it's like, I'm my own kind of crazy. And Taylor and I work.
Oh, yeah, I want to hear about this.
Because she gets my crazy. She's my crazy
so
puzzle piece.
What's your type of crazy?
I am sensitive beyond.
Really?
Oh my God. I'm like an open nerve at every turn of a corner. I am. And you wouldn't think it because I think my voice is gruff and I talk tough, but I am like a basket case. Mm-hmm. I'm super sensitive. And I've been told by plenty of people, like, oh, well, if you weren't just so sensitive. And it's like, well, I am. That's who I am.
I can't help it.
It's not going to change.
When
so
were you born? I don't really know signs, but.
I'm February 22nd. I'm Pisces.
Is that a sensitive sign?
Very.
Oh, really?
Very sensitive. But she like, and trust me, there was a learning curve. Like she was like, why do you have to make such a big deal out of everything? It's annoying. But then
everyone's as cool as you, Taylor.
Yeah, Taylor. And everybody eat cheeseburgers and wear size zero jeans.
Yeah, must be nice.
But, you know, she accepts that this is who I am and loves me for
really
who I
nice.
Am and. But I think that's so important when you're dating, whether it's a guy or a girl or a Martian or whatever the fuck.
Does Taylor have any crazy?
Yes. Yes.
What is
she
your
goes
crazy?
To 0 to fucking 60. The anger. Oh.
Good for you.
Which you would never envision with her.
Yeah,
she's
she
so
like a little angel.
Yeah. Yeah. But when she gets mad, she goes.
Those are the scariest, mad. Though.
But I mean, but honestly, that rarely happens. It takes a lot to push her buttons. Mm-hmm. I'm really good at it.
Yeah. You're like, it's a skill set I have.
No, like, I'm at a point now
I'd
where.
I put it on a resume.
No, I'm at a point now where I'm like, I'll do it and be, I'll even be like, I'm sorry. I just did that totally intentionally. Like, I'm like.
It seemed fun. I was bored today.
I was bored. But, yeah, so life is good and work. I just want to, I love the entertainment industry. I want to work in it. And I love being talent. It's such a privilege. Mm-hmm. But I definitely am not adverse to being on, like my uncle said, the business side of it. I like to do both. Yeah, because
both.
I want a nice long career in this industry. And I look forward to getting to a place, maybe it will never happen, but where I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm like good. I like made it, you know?
Most of the people that are super successful now are people that are in front of the camera, behind the Judd Apatow, someone like that.
Yep.
He's a stand-up comedian. He's written a bunch of movies. He's like producing, but like You don't just do one thing anymore.
No, you can't. I feel like that goes for any profession,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like even look at real estate, right? So Frederick Eklund from Million Dollar Listing New York, mm-hmm. he's in real estate, but he's a friend of mine. Him being on Million Dollar Listing, he's a reality TV star now.
Yep. He said you gotta do.
Made his real estate business even that much stronger. Yep. So it's like, I mean, God.
And people shit on that kind of thing, but you got to do what you got to do. It's people hard to make it.
People shit on reality TV and it's so wrong. Everyone's fucking watching it.
Yeah.
And people love it. They're obsessed with it. I mean, I'm so into reality TV. Yeah. I would, in a heartbeat, I would be on a show.
Well, we're going to make that happen for you.
Girl, let's do it. Let's do it.
Well, thank you for doing this.
Of course.
I love that story.
Thank you.
The whole story of your life, I think, is fucking fascinating.
Thank you. Yeah,
give yourself a lot of credit. That was a lot of brave stuff that happened.
You know what it is?
Cool stuff.
It's not bravery. I hate authority, mm-hmm. and I hate being bossed around. And anger is really my true driving force in life. Hatred and anger.
You kind of are a lot like me in that way.
I'm like,
I'm not going to give someone else credit for this.
I can, like, through my actions, tell people to fuck off. Oh yeah, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, that sounds like a blast.
Well, you know what happens? This is a warning to anybody who has a me in their life, okay? The worst person to deal with is somebody that has nothing to lose. Never forget that.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
Ever. And I was whittled down to a nub of nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I busted out. But yeah.
You're not like that now. You have a lot to lose now.
But now I have everything to lose again, yes.
But they are the scariest type of people.
Yes, they are.
Because
terrifying.
It's like they don't give a fuck.
Zero fucks.
Yeah.
Literally.
On that note, thank you so much for doing this. Tell everyone where they can find you.
You guys can find me on social media at Taylor Strecker, Strecker. And come over to Cosmo Radio, to Sirius XM Radio. I'm on channel 109. It's called Stars with an S, not a Z. People get confused. I'm on from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Live Monday through Friday.
Listen to her. And thank you guys so much for listening. Love you guys. Always, like, thank you so much for rating it 5 stars, and leaving reviews, and coming to see my shows. I'm going to keep doing live podcasts, by the way. So that one that you guys came to in Hollywood was fucking amazing. You should be a guest on that.
I would love to. Yeah, I love really live. Should. Live's my favorite.
I'm
down.
Amazing.
Girl, you tell me when. I was looking for an excuse to plan a trip to L.A.
Yeah, that
in.
Would be amazing.
In.
Well, we could do it here, too.
Okay.
Honestly. All right, guys. Love you. Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.